Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, this is John Nurnberger from Kansas City, Missouri, USA. I'm a socio because I love football, and Graham is one of a kind in terms of knowledge and storytelling ability. My favorite show last season was definitely Roberto Di Matteo. Drogba's Phoenix Rising USL team played our own local team a couple of times last season, and I got to thank him personally for his career. Would have had no way besides the podcast to hear more about Drogba's legendary days at Chelsea and also about Di Matteo's own playing career. There were just so many great stories in that episode. I learned a ton. Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to another great season.
Hello, I'm Neil White, and this is the big interview from the World Cup. On the other end of the line, from Sochi, Russia, is Graham Hunter. Now, on Tuesday, we put out a special podcast reacting to the news that Julen Lopetegui, their Spain head coach, had been named as the incoming manager of Real Madrid to start after the World Cup. We called that an emergency podcast. Well, if that was an emergency, I'm not sure where we are now. In a press conference Graham attended yesterday, as we record this, the head of the Spanish Football Federation, Luis Rubiales, announced the sacking of Lopetegui, who went out undefeated after 2 years in charge of the national team and, far more importantly, 2 days before their Group B opener against Portugal. In came Federation Sporting Director and former Real Madrid captain Fernando Hierro. Graham, you said last time that Lopetegui to Madrid was a bolt from the blue. What about the reaction from Rubiales yesterday? Was there a sense, as the day progressed on Tuesday evening, that this was where things were headed?
Yeah, it became more and more so. There's no point in me trying to be wise after the event. All we began to get were inklings, because when the Lopetegui news first broke, the Federation put out a communique saying, well, there'll be a chat between the media and Rubiales and Lopetegui tomorrow. So that would tell you he's staying. There was a timing given, 11:30, Krasnodar time came and went. That's 2 hours ahead of the UK, 1 hour ahead of the rest, the majority of mainland Europe. There was a phrase used by Rubiales, I think on the radio on the night of the Lopetegui announcement, where he was asked about the way forward and he said, we'll do the best for the team. And, you know, one of the things that you get used to in reporting is it's not weasel words. You try to read between the lines. Now, I know that some companions, some colleagues were unsure about Rubiales' willingness to be flexible over the manner of the way that the Federation had found out. This is a guy, Rubiales, who spent a long time being pretty firmly militant for the rights of players and then launched a campaign to be president of the Spanish FA on several grounds. That predominantly it was about modernization. Predominantly it was about saying the way things have been done, it isn't good enough, and we want to rip up the past and begin afresh. Now, those words hadn't stopped him on winning the election in late May, instantly renewing Lopetegui's contract. So overnight, there was that, you know, obviously everybody listens as a Gregory's Girl fan, and when his pals say to Gregory, or his pals say to each other, they're kind of following Gregory around, and they just rub their fingers together, and there's something in the air tonight as they see Gregory with his, I don't know, second or third girl of the evening. And there was something in the air. And by 11:30, when the word came out in a text that goes round all the principal media, as soon as it was shouted out by the first person to read their phone, postponed an hour, a la calle, was the shout. He's out. He's been, a la calle means out to this, onto the street. In other words, somebody been turfed out onto the street. And for the following hour and a half until the press conference took place, down in the bowels of the Krasnodar Stadium, which I told you before in one of the previous podcasts, is an extraordinary place, genuinely fantastic, but a place with no mobile phone signal in the press room. Now, that's pretty drastic. If you don't want the press conferences to be interrupted, it's not a case of turn your mobiles off, ladies and gentlemen. It's like, no signal. That was quite good. I was like, no score. 180. So we sat there for an hour and a half, and the argument from some of the Spanish media was, let's whistle them in, because they do that. If when the Spanish media all over the country are held up by somebody or an organization that's promised a press conference, they get whistled in. That didn't quite happen as the door opened, but as the door opened, a spokesman came in, Rubiales came in, and a spokesman followed him up. And instantly you knew that before he reached his chair, let the snappers get their shots, sat down and said, hemos tomado la decisión de prescindir. We've taken the decision to end the contract. As soon as Rubiales moved in on his own, you knew that was it for Lopetegui. And the way to explain it, until I get back to your pressing question, is that no matter how long Rubiales spoke, he said over and over again, we didn't know this was happening. And he was lavish in his praise of Lopetegui, not just in what Lopetegui has done in terms of the quality of the football since the European Championship, or the impeccable qualification record, or the fact that they've arrived at the World Cup unbeaten. It's clear that, or at least Rubiales was strenuously trying to be clear, that he likes Lopetegui, holds him in high respect, and whatever stories come out about political machinations, and there's one today about did Lopetegui or not vote for Rubiales in the elections, I can't tell you that, so I have no wish to get involved. But what the new president said over and over again was how much he liked and respected Lopetegui. And therefore, the point he went back to over and over again was that for the Federation and for the president to be informed 5 minutes before Real Madrid announced Lopetegui's appointment made it untenable, made it impossible. And what emerged was a sentiment that effectively President Rubiales wasn't willing to be kept in the dark and pushed around and the Federation to be informed in 5 minutes' time, we're going to announce that we've taken your coach. And that, as far as Rubiales explained it, was the absolute centerpiece of a decision which overnight, the Spanish media, none of the players have had a chance to speak publicly yet. They will tonight. Here we, you know, we're in Sochi ahead of the game. Sergio Ramos at least will speak. And the line was running, because some people here do get direct briefings from some players. There was a running line that, for example, the captain, Sergio Ramos, firmly wanted Lopetegui to be allowed to stay on. What Rubiales told us was that the players were informed of his action in sacking Lopetegui. And subsequently, later in the day, we would be told that they were wholly behind the new appointment. But Rubiales left the press room after quite a long briefing and some testy words with the media, who said, you didn't give us a proper briefing last night. The briefing you gave us was about, you know, there being compensation agreed, and therefore it seemed as if you had known about this. And Rubiales said, we didn't know about this, didn't know this was going on. That went back and forward, and I'm not too interested in that side of things. But we were told that Lopetegui would come and speak to us. Despedida means a goodbye, a farewell. Within about an hour of being told that was cancelled formally by the Federation, and we knew that Lopetegui was in a car heading from the Krasnodar Residencia, they call it, just means the hotel and training complex, to Krasnodar airport en route for Madrid, where it was said at first he'll give a press conference. That, because I'm in Russia as we're speaking, it may be, and I don't know whether or not there's been a formal...
I think they have a Madrid press conference scheduled for this evening.
Yeah, that's the word in Russia, that today, Thursday the 14th, there would be a press conference. I think that's ill-judged by both Real Madrid and Lopetegui, because if there's any possibility of moving on and getting the focus back here, then a full-blown press conference by Real Madrid really is rubbing salt in the wound. Once appointed, they and he could certainly afford to wait until Spain's participation in the World Cup is over, for good or bad. Anyway, that's a separate issue. Once we were told that Lopetegui wouldn't be speaking this afternoon, what was left for us was a lot of running about, a lot of editing, a lot of sending. Something I don't particularly enjoy, but we have to do a lot of us interviewing each other about, it was a sort of Mr. Twister, you know, around whose leg can you wrap your arm while you stick your head over somebody else's chin, and we all talk about the same issue to each other. Because with the deficit of anybody in the playing staff or technical staff to speak to, that's what would fill time for the Spanish media. Special mention to Ricardo Sierra, who often broadcasts live from games for a company called Movistar, and he was asked by his company to basically just do a live holding conversation in the press conference for pretty nearly an hour before anything happened, and he did it. I listened to it. He did it with brilliant skill. He's a good guy, and he did it very, very well. And then, as the day progressed, middle of the afternoon, we get the announcement that instead of it being Albert Celades, the under-21 coach who in his time played for both Barcelona and Real Madrid, it was going to be Fernando Hierro, who Barcelona tried to sign but Madrid pipped them to, and he became an all-time Los Blancos legend, director of football, until he accepted the job yesterday afternoon. And it matched exactly with Rubiales' statement, the president, who said, listen, we want the least further disruption. We want the greatest fit with the next appointment to the squad we've got here. And he said he was asked whether Quique Setién of Real Betis was the guy in his mind, and he emphasised again, no, we want minimum disruption. And lo and behold, Fernando Hierro, after a long meeting with Rubiales, said yes, came, sat down in the press conference about 6:30, 4:30 UK time, 6:30 Krasnodar time, dealt with the questions with bonhomie, no looking back. He had a nice phrase I liked very much, where he said, look, the president just came to me, and it was a very quick conversation. He said, I had three options when the possibility was offered to me. I could turn it down, stay director of football. I could quit. Or this third option I'm taking, I could stand up for my country and join the players. And he said it was a very easy decision, because if I hadn't accepted, I'd never have forgiven myself. That's a nice way to start. And Neil, he was convincing. He was very firm on messages about the preparation has been done. This squad is good enough. This need not be a giant setback. He was pretty gentle in any potential reprimands for Lopetegui, with whom he played at Real Madrid. And they played together in Lopetegui's only game, a Madrid derby against Atleti back in 1990, when they won the title for the fourth straight year, that time under John Toshak. So the next step, and I'm sorry, this is all very stream of consciousness, was, running back up the stairs with the sticks and camera, off to training by car, and watching a beautiful training session in terms of, not sunset, but a low evening light, a perfect temperature, birds tweeting in the trees, the players out and doing what all of players do. The king is dead, long live the king. The training session, as far as we saw, was good and tight and sharp. Fernando Hierro obviously took it. Danny Carvajal did further work. His recuperation continues. I don't think he's ready for the Portugal game. Personally, I think that would be Nacho. And, you know, and we moved, in our case, back inside the residencia where the rest of the media aren't allowed to film what's called a green screen, a chroma key, where if you film people against the green screen, you can impose certain things on it. And it's used as when the giant screen in the stadium, announces the teams, and you see a player looking or turning or nodding his head, or you see it in the TV as well. It's part of the TV graphics. We have to film that. We did. We waited until very, very late at night after building that set, that mini studio, for about 3 hours. And the new mister, Fernando Hierro, came in. We had a chat about Harper's Bar in Manchester, which was a favourite haunt of his. And I knew the owners. And that was very smiley and friendly. Finished off our business with him, packed up for the night, got home about 1 a.m. And that was one of the most dramatic, you know, I've written an Evening Express column about it, saying that a couple of times before I've been at the heart of the biggest story in the world, whether it was being in Jean-Marc Bosman's front living room as the phone was ringing off the hook and the European court decided he'd won his case, or being in the dressing room of the World Cup final in 2010, and watching the players, how they celebrated setting off on an adventure with Gerard Piqué to get his goal net. And now, I'm pretty sure that, you know, all political things aside, there were times when this must have been the world's number one story. And it was both intriguing and exhausting, and I'd be an outright flipping liar if I didn't say that the adrenaline that any news journalist gets from a moment like this is one of the reasons we're in this game.
We spoke, you and I, a few times yesterday on Wednesday as this was all unfolding. Graham is perhaps the hardest working journalist I know. And for you, there was at times yesterday you sound like you were about to break. I mean, physically,
emotionally, hold on a fucking second. You take that back.
Okay, you're not the hardest working. But there were times when I thought you were going to break.
You're lucky. You're lucky there's an entire continent between us.
That's the only reason I can be so bold. You were stretched, put it that way. You sounded stretched, and at one point you did send me a video at one point that I can't share, that I described as being like a trailer for a sequel to the Blair Witch Project, which was an unseen protagonist, who I assume was Graham, sprinting along the length of a concourse of some training ground in Krasnodar, to try and get to the people carrier that is going to take you to your next
tripod assignment. Over the shoulder, 96 degrees.
The ghost of Julian Lopetegui chasing you for all that you're worth. Quite a day, as you said.
It was brutal because you're doing so much at the same time. You're taking so many phone calls. You're doing so many, trying to effect so many tasks. You're trying to think, assess, record things mentally, record things digitally, edit them, make decisions about what priority to send things. You're talking to staff, you're trying to influence how the rest of your day will go, when the first shot at getting access to players or the new coach will be. There's a lot of physical effort about running between spaces. There are an inordinate amount of different kinds of guards, some of whom proved not to understand Doric and are intractable as well. So it was a physical and mental test yesterday, and I'm so glad I was there doing it.
Okay, a couple more points to make before we take a quick break. The first about Hierro. I mean, he was with the Federation from 07 to 11, a big chunk of the golden era, really, you know, that you covered in the Spain book. What kind of a bond does he have with the sort of senior figures that are there still for this World Cup? And did you see that as the obvious and the correct appointment, given the limited options that Rubiales had?
I think the first thing to say, you're right. In my conversations with Albert Thalades, you know, I've found him to be shrewd and organised. He's one of the coming men. He's still very young. His stature is different from Fernando Hierro. Even for a guy, by memory, born in Andorra, who played for Barcelona and Real Madrid, you'd have to say that he's a guy whose authority will have to be earned by what he does now, not from what he carries forward. And Hierro, which I think you're fishing for, carries everything forward. When Sergio Ramos signed for Real Madrid from Sevilla, it was Hierro's number he wanted. It was Hierro's achievements that he came out and told, first of all, the president, and then his fellow players, that he wanted to supersede. It was, I want to be everything that he has been and more. Then, as Gerard Piquet over the years, not now, has spoken about Fernando Hierro, and irrespective of the fact that Piquet could be the most predominantly Barca fan in the whole squad, he's an absolute thorough admirer of Fernando Hierro. So the link there is very, very good. Hierro has worked at Real Madrid as an assistant coach to Ancelotti. He still remains very football bright. He's a commanding presence. He remains as elegant and, I would say, impressive as he was as a footballer. Steve McManaman has talked to me many, many times about that dressing room and how Fernando Hierro ruled and how it was very difficult for Florentino Perez to reassert presidential control. This is a leader. I think the key question is, one of the phrases used to me by one of the Federation staff who knows these things was, the work is already done. Now it's about managing the tournament and who comes up. So the players are in shape. The playing style is set. There's been a lot of research done on the opponents. It's about Hierro, I think, initially convincing enough of them, but then having, if things are going, can go well, a light hand on the tiller. The big question comes, if the game tomorrow goes badly, then do cracks appear? Will there be those wishing that Lopetegui had been allowed to stay? I don't know. Let's wait and see what the game brings. Does he have authority? Is he imposing? Does he bring a track record? Is he a born leader? Yes. One big season of first team coaching at Oviedo, backed up by being the director of football at the Federation during a winning run of the World Cup. There are some questions to answer, but yours was he the best of options? And the answer is yes.
Perfect. Before a quick break, one last thing. You said no reaction so far from the players. No, not exactly true. You can always rely on Gerard Piqué on the platform of Twitter to come up with the goods. He did some excellent internet-based, I assume, research last night to establish a precedent in this case. If I said the 1989 University of Michigan basketball team to you, Graham, obviously you know where I'm going with this, right?
I do know. And the thing I dislike about Gerard is that he's so predictable. I mean, everybody knows the Michigan story, you know, coming back from disaster. The one I'd throw in is, you know, Denmark in, was it 92, when they were on the beach and still won the tournament? And nobody was biting my hand off yesterday, but I need to remind people that in 2008, it wasn't all sunshine and light. They were booed out of the country, as our book establishes. And the Federation made it pretty damn clear they weren't going to renew Luis Aragonés' contract. So he was negotiating with Fenerbahce during the tournament. And they still won. The World Cup, they started with defeat against Switzerland and still won. So I've got a lot of tolerance for the Michigan line and say, yeah, Spain are still going
to
win.
I'm going to give bonus points to Gerard Piqué. I had to look into it. Obviously, he gave me the breadcrumb trail. But in 1989, the University of Michigan, also known as the Wolverines, of course, won the NCAA Division I tournament. They had a relatively successful season to qualify for the tournament. And then they dismissed their head coach, obviously, as you know, Bill Frieda, on the eve of the finals tournament, after he announced that he was leaving after the tournament to join Arizona State. So I'm going to give Gerard Piqué kudos for finding a pretty neat parallel. We'll be back in a second with questions from our socios over at patreon.com/GrahamHunter.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. We asked our socios at patreon.com/GrahamHunter for some quickfire questions in regard to the news that's come out of the Spain camp recently. Graham, are you ready? Thank you to all you guys in advance. Michael English, has the dynamic in the squad changed dramatically in terms of management styles? Will this realistically make a significant difference to the team? So quickly, your idea of Hierro versus Lopetegui, do you think there's going to be a significant difference in leadership style?
Yeah, I think there has to be. And I it's too soon to say positive or negative, but it's what Hierro has done since he stopped playing is different from what Lopetegui did. Lopetegui worked his way up, winning two junior tournaments for Spain, worked hand in hand, really, with De Gea, Koke, Nacho, Isco, Morata, who's not here, but a group of players who will, over, you know, hopefully longer than the next three games, be absolutely essential to how Spain progress. And just immediately, Hierro doesn't have that same experience with them at lifting a trophy. Thiago is another one in that list. So there's a change. It's absolutely clear that beyond the relationships, Lopetegui had more broad coaching experience. You would say that as a number one coach, Hierro has one season with Real Oviedo, where he said yesterday, you know, I think I did really, really well. We did a good job. I'm excited he's bringing on Carlos Marchena from Sevilla, who was a World Cup winner with Spain and a Euro 2008 winner with Spain. I like him. I value him. I think he's a good guy to help link between the new coach and the squad. And I would say that the changes that you've asked about are absolutely fundamentally clear, because it's a different man with different experiences. But what Hierro was suggesting was this is a group which, until there's a need to be instructing them strategically or making strategic changes in the game, it's not a self-cleaning oven, but it's very close to it.
Fedley McDonald says, do you think Hierro will pick roughly the same team or will there be some changes? He adds that he's rashly backed Aspas for top goal scorer.
I think roughly the same, yeah. I mean, I still honestly believe that Carvajal doesn't make it. Nacho at right back with the rest of the back five, absolutely clear. I still think it's clear Iniesta, Busquets. Hierro, the great thing, as Rubiales pointed out, is that Hierro has been at training. It's a baton that Hierro picked up, that he'd been standing on the side, being able to watch training. He must have seen, as he must have seen against Tunisia, that Koke gives something different to Thiago. I think that Koke keeps his place up front. Hierro is a massive fan of Isco. So although Isco has just been seeking form, I think that the arrival of Hierro is no damage to Isco whatsoever, quite the reverse. David Silva must play. The one where I would like Aspas to start, I think that Rodrigo was going to start. The way in which Hierro has previously spoken about Diego Costa gives me a suspicion that that might be the one place that we see a surprise, that we see a change from what Lopetegui was planning. But in the first game, at least, Finlay, why would he make radical changes? That's not what he's been appointed for. And why wouldn't he be reaching for maximum experience against the European champions?
Liam McLaughlin says, what impact, if any, will the sacking have on the Madrid-Barcelona dynamic within the squad?
Well, that needs to play out. I can't be certain about that. And I'm not one who likes to be wildly guesstimating. But I think you can take a yardstick from Xavi Hernandez, admittedly back in Madrid, immediately saying that Rubiales did the right thing, that it was inopportune what Lopetegui had done. Now, Xavi was, you know, ultra Spain. He albeit a born Catalan, first generation Catalan, Spain mattered to him. He was the one who was happy to put a wrap of a Spain flag around his waist and shout Viva España, albeit that his Catalan sentiments are very clear and he's ultra Barca. So for him to say that Lopetegui, in his view, had done the wrong thing and that Rubiales had done the right thing, I wonder if maybe you might be able to intuit some of what Busquets or Alba or Piqué might have been thinking. And therefore, I go back to Yarrow's theme that the way in which these players have arrived at the tournament, be they born in Catalonia or like Iniesta playing for Barcelona and not born in Catalonia, or, you know, long-term Madrid starlets coming through the system like Lucas or Nacho, or a Madrid legend like Sergio Ramos, they're here to win. And I don't think that we've yet reached any kind of stage where divisions will have emerged. Or I think this is a squad which is 23 players saying, we have come here with a good atmosphere. I think it was patent in qualifying. It's been patent here and with a chance of winning.
Okay, previously I think you got inside the decision that the Federation made really, really well. Our next question from Aditya Prabhakar says, what led Real Madrid to announce their choice in coach and what reaction could they have expected from the Federation?
You know, I'm not going to be put in the position of defending Florentino Perez. Please don't make me do that. But, you know, if you've been around big football clubs, you can understand it. And this probably before I go and attend a press conference needs to be the final answer. It's clear that, you know, Real Madrid and Florentino Perez or José Ángel Sánchez, his vice president, have not helped Spain's efforts. Lopetegui himself was dedicated to winning this trophy, was looking forward just as an individual to be coaching at the tournament. I know that because he told me so. And Lopetegui's point of view was, this is a tournament where I want to focus on football. I don't want outside issues. None of these things have come true, and that's largely because of Real Madrid's actions. One, could anybody honestly blame a guy who went to Madrid age 19 from Real Sociedad, played through until he got his debut at 23, didn't succeed, moved on, subsequently coached worked at Rayo Vallecano, played at Rayo Vallecano, beat Madrid for Rayo Vallecano in a derby, was, you know, head of their international scouting coordinators, was Castilla coach. Can we really blame Lopetegui for saying, I want this opportunity? I've got a pretty open mind about what most of us would do given that choice. Where it went wrong was not acceding to Rubiales' request that it wasn't made public. Real Madrid are a big club. They were left shocked by Zidane's departure. They need to convince players who are renewing or who are leaving that the ship is steady. They needed a coach. Waiting to appoint one until July 16th, if Spain were to go to the final, probably not acceptable to Real Madrid's fans and sponsors and players. It's been an unfortunate clash. Where I think it will veer into ill-judged is if Lopetegui and Real Madrid host this press conference and all the issues are churned out again the night before the Portugal game, so that the morning of the game dawns with more headlines and tough questions to have answered. But until I see evidence with my own eyes that the players can't cope with all this, I'm going to say that I think that they can, and that while it hasn't helped, I don't think it's time to man the life rafts.
Tom, Richard, Philip, Daryl, Ben, sorry, there is no time for your questions.
Tom, Richard, Daryl, Philip, Ben, keep them coming, send them in, we'll come back to them, I promise. Match day minus one is calling.
Listen, that's just about our show. I hope you're enjoying the World Cup podcasts. They haven't been dull. If you want to support us, please leave a review on iTunes, buy your razors from our sponsors by going to trygillette.com/biginterview, or join our supporters trust at patreon.com/GrahamHunter. It's one day until Spain kick off against Portugal. We haven't even talked about that game yet. There'll be more podcasts very soon. But for now, Graham, go. Thank you.
Hasta luego. Dos vidanya.
I really hope you're enjoying these World Cup shows. We've got huge plans for next season, but we do need your help to make them happen. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter right now to become a socio, a member, to join us, to support us. You'll get an extra big interview every month, plus lots of other bonus content. Last season, our members got 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, and Roberto Di Matteo. So go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Do it now, please.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.